unheardnerd.com.
If you have money, you can buy anything.
Oh shit, it's the mighty one kid. That superhero swagger gentleman just popping the lid. Got a Fibonacci sequence for your face. Looking like the numbers from Lost in Space. Or is it lost? John, Jack, Desmond, Hurley, men of faith, science, surely not exactly skinny, but not burly. There's a reason I'm the unheard nerd. Too busy getting pixelated.
Welcome to episode 30 of the Unheard Nerd podcast, and it's the final show as it stands, as it is in its current format. What we're going to do is split the show into two. We're going to have the Unheard Nerd mixtape, which will be the show where I play all the music, the new tunes, the classic tunes, all the nerdcore and indie hip-hop, and then we're going to have Word to the Nerd, which started off as a show designed to interview people in nerd culture doing nerd projects, but actually I think it's better suited to the shows like this one, where I interview people from the nerdcore scene. On this episode, I'm joined by Int 80 of Dualcore. Enjoy the show.
Back once again, it's the team from before. Hit the ground running when we came through the door. Keep the crowd going every time we perform. Shout it out now if you really want more. Let me take it back a few years, describing the scene. In Cleveland, Ohio, we're at Nauticon 3. A hotel party that was packing the floor. It was me, Bomb Anonymous, and Remington Forbes. Hanging out, talking, listening to tracks. And someone was saying that they heard I could rap. I freestyled a little in school to match words. Do they really want rap in a room full of nerds? So I spit a rhyme that was more to my style. Programming, hacking, and kernel compiles. And finished with the line about a ship left fit set. Kismet, inject, drift, net, shipwreck. Cause I'm a nerd too. The doubt was destroyed. Of course they're gonna like the same things I enjoy. The room went crazy, the beats were exploding. Passed the mic to Remy and the flow kept going. Back once again, it's the team from before. In my inbox, mail from 6-4. I'd heard his production, was really impressed. His beats, my rhymes, well, you know the rest. Bought a mic to record, writing tracks, having fun. A year after that, we released 0-1. Started booking shows for our songs and sound. Had the whole crowd yelling out, hostage down. Shoutcast radio, iTunes, everything. Awful show, game dame, everybody mentioning. The US and UK, songs hit and play. A shout out from Gabe up at Penny Arcade. Second album, late nights, moving through the hours. Side by side, we're producing superpowers. Def Con release with the show for the cover. Finally met 6-4 and we delivered another. Yup, back once again, it's the team from before. Hit the ground running when we came through the door. Keep the crowd going every time we perform. Shout it out now if you really want more. Played a few shows, people love the CDs. Went to Germany, Columbus, and out to DC. Def Con's amazing, and for all that I care, what happened out in Vegas didn't have to stay there. Good times, great friends, nothing compares. Thanks to Jackalope, we got there, ready, prepared. Came back home from the short summer tour to a message in my inbox, mail from 6-4. New beats and melodies, bass lines bouncing. No time to lose, gotta start the third album. Writing day and night while I'm coding as well. Finished up, listen up, now you hear it yourself. Many thanks to everyone who wrote a review. To the listeners and each of our fans, we thank you. Trust me, love them all, cause geeks are same vein. It feels so surreal when they're shouting our name. Back once again, it's the team from before. Hit the ground running when we came through the door. Keep the crowd going every time we perform. Shout it out now if you really want more. Dualcore.
joining me on the show this time is Int 80 of Dual Core. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're more than welcome. You're, again, as I often say to guests, you're someone I've had earmarked to be on the show for some time and never quite get around to actually sending that email and hooking it up. Other things tend to come up, or, you know, other shows struggle to fit in as many podcasts as I'd like to because of family and life commitments. But I'm very, very happy to have you on the show. And the main reason being that we briefly, very, very briefly met, and I don't remember it was last year, on the 28th of May 2013, we very, very briefly met on the Pentonville Road in London, and you were over here playing gigs alongside MC Lars.
Yeah, it was awesome. We were on tour in the UK, so we played in Scotland and Wales and all around the island, and rounded out the tour in London. And it was awesome getting to meet you. We didn't get to hang out long enough, but we have the internet to do that.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it was my intention to sort of hook up with you after you'd played your set, after the show, and we could talk, and I had a voice recorder. I could have recorded a brief interview there and then, and it would have been awesome because that was such a great gig. It was absolutely packed out. It wasn't a massive venue, but I mean, there were hundreds of people in there, and it was a phenomenal night. It was actually my birthday, and I'd gone with my wife. She was like, what do you want to do for your birthday? I think she'd prefer to go out for a meal or something. I was like, we have to go to this gig, because on the lineup there was MC Lars headlining. You guys were there. Too Many Teas, who I absolutely adore. I think that was probably the third time I'd seen them. They were a South London duo. Who else was on that bill? It was MC iPod. Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
I think that was it.
That was it. But awesome lineup, really great. And the whole night just went, it was just so cool. I turned up and I missed some of Too Many Teas' set, but I caught the end of it. And then because I kind of met those guys a few times, we were chatting whilst watching the rest of the show. And I'd walked in, I'd spoken to Lars. Obviously, I've met him a couple of times before because he plays London generally every year. And so I've spoken to Lars. I was talking to Too Many Teas. I was watching your set, which was amazing. Just like, I absolutely fell in love with you as a person just from your energy on stage. It was incredible. I've really never witnessed energy quite of the kind that you had on stage. And I think you were heavy with cold as well. Do you remember?
Yeah, I caught a cold, I think at the second show, which was like a stop in Scotland, and just kind of like pushed through it on the tour. Fortunately, we had a couple days off in the middle. But that show in London was fantastic. Like, MC iPod was super friendly. Always MC Lars puts on a great show. And I really, really like Too Many Teas a lot. Their chemistry together, their coordination was just excellent. And like everybody, like you said, it was packed. It was just a really friendly venue.
Yeah.
And one of the things I remember about that show was during the tour, my producer and I would always switch things up. And I really liked the tour a lot because, like, it was a great opportunity to get to play shows with C64, right? He lives in London and I live here in San Francisco. So I play all the shows, like, by myself or, like, with another DJ, Fuzzy Knop, like, here in the U.S. and, like, around, like, in the Western Hemisphere, I guess. But I never get to play with C64. Except for when he flies out for our shows in Vegas each summer. And so it was great, like, getting to play with him. But we would agree on a lineup for the set, like, each night before the show. And we say, like, all right, we're going to play this and this. And we have our whole set list ready to go. And then in the middle of the show, for some reason, I'd always decide, like, you know what? Actually, I want to play this song now. And there'd be totally unprompted. Or, like, I remember in the Manchester show, one of the guys had, like, a Headshot t-shirt on. And we hadn't put Hostage Down in the set. So I wanted to play Hostage Down, like, right in the middle of the set because the guy had the t-shirt on. I kept changing the set in the middle of the set while we're on stage, and I think like C64 is getting a little frustrated at times. But then in the London show, we were playing one of the songs, and like after the first verse it just like cut to the next song, and like I was like, oh, okay, I'll just go with it, it's fine. And it's totally unplanned. And then playing the next song, and after the first verse in that song, it like cut to another song. So I was like, okay, fine. Like, I was like, you know, you're gonna throw me curveballs, like you're getting back at me, like that's fine. And then but I was like, you know, I'm from America and our national pastime is baseball, and so like I know about curveballs. And so I figured something was going wrong on the controller, which it was. So I I cut over and I said I wanted to do a freestyle. And when we had been doing sound check, the sound engineer, the sound guy at the venue in London, his name was Joe. He had been like beatboxing, just like joking around and stuff. So I had him plug up a mic in the back, and he did a beatbox, and we did a freestyle like just right then and there, and it was like super fun. And like I just remember that aspect of the London show, like that'll always like stay with me. It was fun. And then C64 was able to get his controller fixed. I think there was like a button that had accidentally gotten pressed that was like assigning the wrong the track to the wrong channel or something like that. But it was funny because it was just totally unplanned, and I was like, you know, now I know what it feels like to get the get the rug pulled out from under me in the middle of things.
Yeah, it absolutely was fun, and certainly wasn't expecting the as you say, the sound guy to come up and or to provide beatbox. That was it was good. It was great. I just loved the whole energy of the set. But well, there was one track that you played, and it was mixing a Prodigy track, Invaders yeah. Must Die. I think this is the track. And yeah. Oh my god, that blew the roof off. It was amazing. Just and your delivery on stage is impeccable. I'm especially impressive since, as I say, you were heavy with cold. So I absolutely adored that gig. And you know what topped it off a little bit later on is Akira the Don came in, and yeah, I just stood between too many teas. I got my wife next to me. We're on a night out. It's great. Akira the Don, and then you come up and gave me the biggest man hug I've ever had, and it was just a perfect night. So I've got to say thank you. I mean, that night is just amazing. It was like my birthday, great gig, wonderful shows, and you, I don't know, you played a really big part in making that such a wonderful night. So I do want to thank you, because I never really got the opportunity to do that.
My pleasure. And I'm glad that you could be there, and that was awesome that it was your birthday. And I think if we can find video on the internet, like on YouTube, I'm pretty sure that I gave you a shout out in the freestyle for your birthday.
You absolutely did. Yeah. I mean, that I was tripping when that happened. Yeah, absolutely. The thing is, my wife was upstairs getting a drink. So she came down and was like, they just gave me a shout out. And it was amazing. Really good. Anyway, that's me gushing out of the way. Let's get down to a little bit about you. And you mentioned your producer C64, who I think he lived in Manchester, now lives in London, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. He used to live at, just outside of Manchester in West Stoughton, and then him and his wife moved to London a few years ago.
Okay, that's what, you know, he's we're virtually neighbors.
Right, yeah.
But did you also move recently?
Yeah, 2 years ago. So I used to live in Cincinnati, which is in for the rest of the people outside of the U.S. It's in like around the middle of the United States. And so I moved to San Francisco. So now I live on the West Coast.
Right. Okay. Warmer.
Yeah, definitely. Like my mom still like sends me text messages or like pictures of like all the snow on the yard. And I'm like, you know, what's all that white stuff? It's like 65 degrees here. Or I don't know what that would be for Celsius, maybe 15 or 20, I guess.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, we're having appalling weather today, but we've had thunderstorms, hail, lightning, rainbows, ooh, sunshine. It's just a very mixed bag. But talking to Word Burglar last week, he said it was like minus 30 where he is in Canada.
Yeah, much colder up there.
Crazy. Anyway, back to you. So I mean, we conducted an email interview a few years ago now, a couple of years ago, back in, I think, 2012. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of been perusing that and catching up on a few things. And you grew up in Cincinnati. What got you into music, or what got you into hip hop? What came first, music, or were you straight into the hip hop?
I started out in hip hop, I guess. And I used to write these like AOL hacking tools, like back when I was a kid. And this other kid that I used to program with, he lived in New Jersey, so he would always send me like artists to check out. Like he'd be like, check out like Method Man, or check out like DMX, or like whatever. And so like I got a lot of exposure to hip hop stuff from him, and I just really liked it. It's, you know, like it's got a good texture to it, good tempo, good sound. So so I always liked hip hop, just starting out in music.
Yeah, and you were programming back then. What were you programming on in those days?
I was just coding in Visual Basic and just a standard like Windows desktop and stuff like that. The AOL client used to have like a bunch of vulnerabilities, and you could do things like lock people's AOL clients up, like freeze their computer or just like crash their AOL client. And this is like at the time I had dial up, so you might wait like 10 minutes, you know, for a line to open up before you could actually connect into AOL. So if you're like online and then you're getting kicked offline, you've got to wait like another 10 minutes to get back on. So it was pretty amusing. And I mean, there was like a bunch of other tools that we used to write for like serving wares and like mass mailing them and different like IM add-ons and phishing and all that fun stuff.
You've said a lot of stuff I don't understand. Let's get back to the music. <All right>. we'll come onto the hacking thing, because I do have a couple of questions on that later on. Sure. But I am quite, I don't know, a philistine, I guess, or you're just not clued up, I guess, would be the best way of saying it. So how old were you when you first, you know, started listening to hip hop? What sort of age were you then?
I guess early high school. I think it was like either late junior high or early high school around that time.
And what inspired you to then, having listened to music, start making music? What came first? Did you start making music? Was it all about the lyrics early on? What was your first introduction to actually making music?
I actually just liked to listen to rap, and so the same guy that I used to program with, he wrote like a rap verse about how his code was better than my code, and then he just like kept bugging me to write a response, and I never fancied myself a rapper, so I just said like, no, like not really a rapper, but he just kept on pushing me, and so eventually, just to shut him up, like I wrote a verse back to him, and then we just kind of started trading verses that way, and then I met like other kids that rapped around town and stuff like that, and just kind of grew into it from there.
Right. And at what point did you start putting music to that, and do you hooking up with people? Do you start performing? Do you putting on shows and things like that?
So I found one of my friends started DJing. So I used to DJ with him, and we would just DJ parties and stuff like that. And then he worked at a clothing store, and it was kind of like a popular like urban clothing store. So people would come in to put down flyers for like shows that they had. And one of the places looked pretty cool. It was just like an underground hip hop thing, like weekly. And so we would go and like watch, and they'd have like MC battles and breakdancers and DJs, and it was all really cool. And so I really liked it a lot, and I thought freestyling was a really interesting thing. So I just started trying that, and I used to get into a lot of battles, and I'd be in like freestyle battles a lot, and I'd win a lot. And I had a couple friends around town that were also really good at battling. And so eventually me and one of my friends would just go out of town every weekend. We'd find some tournament in some city, like Cincinnati's got a lot of cities around it that are in driving distance. So we would just hop in the car, go to some city for the weekend, jump in the tournament, and then split whatever we won. So most of the time we just finished first and second, and we just split the money, and it was fine. So we did that for a long time. And then eventually I met, like around that time I met C64 online, and really liked his beats a lot, and really wanted to get better at like recording and putting together like studio songs. And so then at that point, like, he started sending me beats, and we started making tracks together, and then it just went from there.
I'm running from terrorists, hope they don't chase me. We got four hosties, let's get them home safely. GT squads wrecking whole brigades with an M4, a knife, and smoke grenades. Ask the same questions, get the same answers. It's cool for a man, we're not some lame campers. Died in a G-prep, let's get a rematch. Rushed out of spawn and got hit with a team flash. Discard the guns, giving my real credit. Rhyme skill legend with a knife kill fetish. Hone these noobs and watch a strong fall. Come play office, we'll meet in long haul. Nicknamed Deadeye, loaded and cocked. My deagle sends around through the scope on your op. Big guns, small arms, doesn't even matter yet. You're the type to jump, crouch, hide in the cabinets. Just tell them now, they better hit the ground. All you hear is
hostage down.
Well, the office dust, Aztec, the lounge. All I hear is
hostage down.
So the terrorists get in the message now. All you hear is
hostage down.
Dual core, man, we're the best in town. All I hear is
hostage down.
Six kills, only pulled five shots with an aimbot chop I cop from my guy. Back
tracks about 3 months back on these sheets. So blast on the maps and start with DE. Dudes wanna cry about even teams. Plus the first dust really cheats the tease. My single pump shotty's on all night spree. Time to plant, meet me at bomb site B.
Well, the point when you met C64 online, I mean, how far along were computers at that point? I mean, what year was that? Were we on up to broadband speed, or was that still, you know, standard?
Oh yeah, still broadband and high speed internet. Like we met on a forum, so I guess it was before like SoundCloud and stuff was around. But the site that you used to use was SoundClick, which I don't know if you remember it, but it's like it's old school. But same premise as SoundCloud, except not as much like social networking aspect at the time. So it was just like you're somebody that makes music, upload your songs, and then people can check them out, and then you can get in contact with people that way. But we also used the same web forum. It was just like an underground hip hop forum, and I ended up hijacking the forum and like actually like moving it over onto my own server and like stealing the whole user base and everything. it was kind of funny, but he followed me onto there, so that was nice of him to do that.
Wow. Well, yeah, embracing what you love, clearly. Wow. And so how does that work? I mean, how do you you like his music?
Yep.
How do you form a group on that basis? You're different sides of the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah, definitely. So we just share everything online, and fortunately we have like a really similar taste in music, so we get along really well. So he'll make a beat, like, and then send me the beat, and I'll check it out. If I like it, I'll, you know, write a song to it, record the vocals, and I'll send the vocals back to him in full quality. And he'll pull those down off of my server and then import them into the, original mix that he's got for the instrumental. And then he'll do all the mixing and everything. So we keep everything full quality. And then the final output is dual core rap songs.
And good they are too. Am I right in saying your first album was 01?
Yeah, and that one released in 2007. So we started working on that one in 2006.
So that's early days. Most people who like, and you know, you're included in the genre of nerdcore. Most people won't go back that far in terms of listening to nerdcore. That's a long way back. Was nerdcore actually a thing in those days?
Yeah, I'd say it was. I mean, I think like it was definitely a term that was around. I think MC Frontalot definitely had at least one album out, if not two. Mm. And I know Whitey Cracker had been doing stuff like that for a while as well. I remember eventually, like maybe around 2007 or 2008, browsing to his site, and he just had like a index directory listing of like all these MP3s that he had done, and the timestamps were, you know, back before we started. So I know that people had definitely been doing that stuff before we came on the scene. And I remember talking with Whitey Cracker once. He came over and recorded. We have a song on our fourth album called I Remember, and he actually happened to be in town. So he came to my house in Cincinnati and wrote and recorded his verse there. But we were talking about it, and I feel like basically people like him and MC Frontalot and MC Lars really helped build like a staircase for me to just kind of get a running start and then like run up that staircase and like ramp up. So I feel like, you know, other people laid a lot of the groundwork for us, that we were able to come into the scene and already kind of have like people that were interested in that type of music.
So was it a case that you discovered nerdcore and thought, well, this is what we are? Or was it you made the album and people said, oh, that's nerdcore? How did it work? Which way around was it?
I guess it's kind of a mix of the two, really. Because like the way that we got started with our dual core stuff is that I happened to be at a party for a hacker conference in Cleveland, and somebody there, like, they had a PA system and stuff, and they turned down the PA and plugged a mic up, and they were like, yeah, somebody here from Cincinnati can freestyle. And I thought, like, I was like looking around, my friends were like, come on, go. And I'm like, no, wait, I want to see like who else is here from Cincinnati that can freestyle. And I thought there was somebody else there. And then they were like, no, it's you. And I was like, oh, okay. And so I'm like in this hotel party, and I'm totally in my element. Like, I'm friends with a bunch of hackers, and I mean, that's what I do. And I'm like, well, I don't know if they'll really like rap music. So I just start freestyling about like hacking stuff and programming stuff, and everybody really liked it. And I was like, man, it's really fun. Like, I really enjoy it, because it's two of the things that I really love put together. And so when we started, like, it was right after that, it started working on 01. And so in emailing with C64, I was saying like, yeah, I'd really like to make an album, but I kind of want to make it like this, in this way. And he was like, cool, like, you're a good rapper and you work hard, so like, I'm sure it'll be good. So I was like, all right, cool. And then that's just what we did.
These computers give us instant access to the state of the world, troop movements, Soviet missile tests, shifting weather patterns. It all flows into this room and then into what we call the Whopper computer. Whopper, what is that? The War Operation Plan Response. This is Mr. Richter. Paul, would you like to tell these gentlemen about the Whopper?
Well, the Whopper spends all its time thinking about World War III. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
Challenging the law games.
War games. War games.
War games.
War games.
ICBMs with the distance of all range.
War games.
War games.
War games.
War games. Nuclear submarines, fighter jet warplanes.
War games.
War games.
War games.
War games. Search warrant issue, kicking down door frames. Again from the start, when computers had tubes. I don't mean the internet, the real vacuums. With diodes and relays to shoot for the moon. Just one system filled the whole room. Advanced back then to write plenty tracks. I toppled Colossus, sacked ENIAC. Back in the 50s, before they had help, my AI deceived even Turing himself. We had a conversation that made his brain numb. Where
protest came from. NP complete? That's my problem. Natural language is trivial. Process roll through the years to outthink humans. Frustrated Davis, stump von Neumann. Updated circuitry, improved design. Like most things in life, I got better with time. Challenging the law games.
War games.
War games.
War games.
War games. ICBMs with the distance of all range.
War games.
War games.
War games.
War games. Nuclear submarines, fighter jet warplanes.
War games.
War games.
War games.
War games.
Search warrant
issue, kicking down war frames. More and more systems when I'm given the time. Pushing my way over ARPANET lines. Came out the military, moving commercial. Pursuing consumers, computers now personal. They put me in movies, created a buzz. But still they don't see what I'm capable of. Hackers attack, did you miss the news? Exaggerate facts till they're misconstrued. Let's play a game, dial up NORAD. Global, thermo, nuclear war pack. Rabbits and blue shots mask my anger. With the Da Vinci virus to capsize tankers. Large fortunes made in small amounts. Take a fraction of a penny out of everyone's account. Fire and ashes, smoke I can cover with the upload of virus and infect the mothership.
War games.
War games.
War games.
War games.
This
is Y2K, main challenging the law games.
War games.
War games.
War games.
War games.
War games.
ICBMs with the distance of all range.
War games.
War games.
War games.
War games. Nuclear submarines, fighter jet warplanes.
War games.
War games.
War games.
War games.
Search warrant issue, kicking down war frames.
Global employment for clients with patience. A new application. Human surveillance, echelon intercepts, analyze evidence of discard irrelevance of signal intelligence. Ooh. Looking for a flash of light in the black of night, passing by to satisfy when I'm tracking by a satellite out of commission. Push to its afterlife, I'm the reason carnivore lost his whole appetite, feel so unbreakable. Crush those bones, war dial, more files, touch tone phones. Frequency bounded for how the mic sounded, improved heuristics for HAL 9000. Hackers could break in and exploit the site, so blast off the nukes out of underground silos. Update the bus speeds as fast as the clock goes. Also, nuclear will brute force the launch codes.
War games.
War games.
War games.
War games. This is Y2K, main challenging the law games.
War games.
War games.
War games.
War games.
War games.
ICBMs with the distance of all range.
War games.
War games.
War games.
War games. Nuclear submarines, fighter jet warplanes.
War games.
War games.
War games.
War games.
Search warrant issue, kicking down
war
frames.
War games.
And you followed that album with Superpowers in 2007. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so right after we finished 01, we just kept making stuff. He had a bunch of beats that he'd made, C64 did. And it was around that time that I actually started exploring nerdcore to be like, who else is out there? Like, basically, who are my peers and, like, who's my quote-unquote competition? Like, not that we all compete with each other, but just like, you know, who are the people that I should be checking out and seeing what they're doing and stuff like that. And so then I found like other people and I was like, man, I'd really like to have some of these guys on our album. Cause like on our first album, we just had Remy Forbes is the only other rapper on there. And he's a guy that I know from Cincinnati. He's also a great rapper and a Linux guy and Cisco guy as well, like a network guy. So I didn't have like any nerdcore artists on the first album, so I thought it'd be good to branch out. So then we ended up getting people like Zealous One and Beefy and Whitey Cracker on the Superpowers album as well, and MC Rection from Florida.
Yeah.
So that was we just kind of kept pushing, and we got a bunch of the tracks done really quickly, and we were able to, I think, basically complete the album within a few months. So we released it shortly thereafter.
Cool. MC Rection is the only artist you mentioned there that I've met, and he's a very, very cool guy, very quiet, laid back. I really liked him when I met him. Now, after that, we've got 2008. I'm going to whip through the albums, if you don't mind, through the music.
Sure, yeah.
And then we can move on to other things. But we've got Lost Reality in 2008. Now, I must confess that up to this point, I haven't really engaged with your music. I haven't, you know, these first three albums, I'll be honest, passed me by. And I don't think I was an early adopter of the genre at all. I came into it much later. But Lost Reality in 2008, so you know, you're not wasting any time in bringing out another album. Is the plan to bring out one every year?
No, we just kind of just kept going, and that just happened to be the pace. C64 just had like a lot of really good beats, and I just wanted to keep pushing on them, and so we just kept cranking. And I thought it was really fun because I felt like the genre was kind of developing. And even though hip hop's been around for several decades now, I think it's really neat because as you make hip hop, you change it, right? Like different styles come into effect, and like the sounds go in different directions. And I feel like that's all based off of what's happened previously. So I just thought it was kind of neat that we could like not necessarily have like a major impact, but like we're living in the moment and like changing the future as well at the same time, which I thought was pretty cool. But yeah, we didn't have any particular like scheduled release or anything like that. We just kind of had enough free time to keep going at that pace, I guess.
And Lost Reality also features Beefy and Whitey Cracker, but then you got Wheelie Cyberman on there, who of course fronted Optimus Rhyme, who are one of my favorite acts. He has his other project, Super Commuter. But yeah, that looks. I'm going to have to check these albums out because I still haven't gone back. But the point where I jumped on board with Dualcore and started really enjoying what you're doing is with Next Level, and I don't know, that seemed like quite a big. You got a really big response to that album. A lot of people really really dig that.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. Like I think that around Lost Reality, I think the beats on Lost Reality really jumped up a lot. Like, I mean, I always loved C64's production. I love 01 and I love Superpowers. And I think that like, basically, C64 has like a logarithmic growth model. You know, like he's just like, he just gets way, way better with each release. And I think like in Lost Reality, we really like took a turn, like to a pretty sharp point with the beats. And then in Next Level, it just continued getting even better. So I feel like we managed to like kind of open the door all the way. Like we initially got our foot in the door with the first two albums, but then with Lost Reality, we really kind of opened the door a lot. We had a lot more shows going forward from there. I remember like I played part of the tour with MC Frontalot and Whitey Cracker and Lars during their Midwest leg. And then I feel like we walked through the door with Next Level. Like I remember like writing the Next Level album and just really being impressed by all of the work that C64 was doing. And I remember when Whitey Cracker came over to do his verse on I Remember, I played him like a handful of the tracks that we had done. And he was just telling me like how much he was blown away. And he was like, this is exactly like what hip hop is supposed to be. And he was like really excited about it. And he sent me like the next day, he sent me this like really long email that was just like very, very nice of him, like just saying like all these things and how much he enjoyed our music and like working with us. And yeah, it was just Next Level was just like I was really, really excited about that album. And I still really like it a lot.
TheUnheardNerd.com.
I remember.
We had fun together.
Back in the day. My first time online, 1995. My neighbor's new computer, we took it for a ride. Addicted from the start, and it wasn't ending soon. In JPEG room, seeing women in the nude. But that's not my interest. Time I could invest. Delta trees and Trojans, computers I could infect.
Hold on, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Take a step back. Started making fan sites of artists that could rap. Did some code in an IM to start up. AOL choked, was frozen on the markup. Came across proggies and tools made by others. Kicking people offline, the scene called them gunners. Had the best strings, it would crash and hold the throne. So I couldn't give them out, had to code it on my own. VB3 downloading, feeling out of place. Started out clueless, a genocide base. Sprinting for the lead, I couldn't stay behind. Met caffeine, learned the Windows API. Writing bigger raps, growing day by day with it. Subclass, trespass, evade, rate limits. I'm a whiz group mercenary, coding was my pitch. Servers, mass mailers, anything for fish. Tossers, trollers, ASCII art journals. For masters and subs, overheads and kernels. Multi-threaded brute force, secure ID tokens. German, Canadian, is code that was spoken. Pinpoint time, most will never know. I coded with the very best from all around the globe. Bounced through private rooms, finding all the spots.
wondered if accounts would even live until the morning, cause all of this could terminate with on-screen warnings. I remember.
Remember that? In a couple private rooms in 98 if my man is correct, I got immediate respect in my past, with the freaking and the hacking and the spamming for cash. Just ask Astro, I was the Fidel Castro, dictator gagging while I'm sold in a macro. Page on 8OP, free host for all the hackers and the AOGs. This digital gangster, he made a splash. Page on the internet in any subclass. No sin keys, so the progies are fast. All the tosses and the mailers and the fishes were mass. This digital gangster, he made a splash. Intro art to his progies and past. Concert to the kiddies and dash. Then I spit some raps about it and I'm famous for that.
Now let's continue, that the intro's begun. Did I mention I was running Windows 3.1? My 486 DX was so potent, coupled with the 2400 baud modem. Back to the task, this culture, this class, these hackers, these teenagers growing up fast. With password stealers, reversing was the issue. Switch out the email, flip and redistribute. I had Legion, Havoc, rolling with the force. Decompile fade, and I marveled at the source. Cold ice dive in and all the VBs. There was server with an S and server with the C. I was fishing with AIM, switching up the game. An app that would interface with AOL and AIM. Clearing out the rooms, eating customers alive. These chat sound strings had me spinning up your drives. For 5 minute code with the con stunts. One night run, over 20,000 punts. Spam became my thing, growing interest in my funds. Checks from AFF, keep them coming every month. Regrets never once, always use caution. AOL was all I had, there was no other option. VB3 got a bit stale and so we left. Threw away my VBX, made an OCX. My base 32-bit, the code was a rarity. Custom controls, added GUI transparency. Thinking of protocols and keywords we broke. We had FDO scripts, master AOL invokes. Getting out the scene, mailing and serving. Getting into other things like Rain Man and Merlin. Inside AOL and then Observer's crew. L-case asserts, I remember all of you. I remember.
Remember that?
Remember that?
Different place and time.
Back in the day.
I remember.
Remember that?
We had fun together.
No sleep, feeling fine.
I was crazy.
Captured dreams. I remember.
Remember that?
All day, all night, always online.
Captured dreams.
I remember.
Remember that?
Well, you brought in some of the bigger names in nerdcore, people, you know, artists that a lot of fans really appreciate, really recognise. So yeah, MC Front a lot, obviously being the godfather of the genre, or at least that's his title. You've got MC Lars, obviously still going very strong too. Beefy, Whitey Cracker, and you know, Schaefer the Dark Lord, who's had a resurgence lately as well. And Random just is always an ever present. And that's you know, that's quite an impressive lineup to have on your record. And do you think that's part of what made that record special? I mean, you know, apart from your obvious progression as artists yourselves, do you think, you know, actually being respected and bringing those bigger names of the genre in, do you think that helped a lot?
I guess it definitely didn't hurt. I don't know like the actual impact that it had, but I mean the song Magnificent Seven, which features all of them, definitely got a lot of you know, good reviews, good feedback on it, and was super fun to make as well. And it was kind of a nice, just like, hey, like we're all in the same pool together, you know, like it was kind of a nice way of I guess identifying that aspect. Actually, I kind of want to take a quick tangent because the Magnificent Seven song really came together in a very interesting way. I had the idea for the track about 2 weeks before the album had to be done. So I emailed everybody and I said, hey, like, I have this idea for a song. I think it'd be fun. Here's the format. Here's what I've got in mind. Let me know if you're in. The only thing is I'll need your vocals in like 1 week from now so that we have time to like get everything mixed down and sounding like it's all meshed together correctly. And so I was like, it's totally fine if you can't do it. Like, I understand, like, everybody's super busy, you know, no hard feelings if you say no. And I was like, I'll just take whatever I can get. And everybody was like, yep, I'm in. And they all, like, we all sat down, we started a Gmail thread, we all just started writing. Everybody got their stuff written and got their vocals recorded and sent them off to me, which is pretty awesome. Like, I was really, really impressed by that and very thankful that everybody took the time to do that.
Well, I mean, that is interesting. So you had a Gmail thread. Is it a case where you see the lyrics before you hear them performed?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, we basically, like, we got everything written first, and then everybody recorded their own parts, and then we sent everything up to C64, and he took care of the rest.
Wow, it blows my mind. You know, you listen to the music and you just think, well, I mean, perhaps you don't always appreciate the effort that actually goes into it, you know, what the process of actually writing and recording tracks like that. I'm thinking of the, you know, Caputo's album, The Almighty. There's that epic track where almost everybody in the world is a guest vocalist. Yeah. I can't imagine there was quite the same level of planning in that. It seems like people probably just sent their verses in. But yeah, interesting to hear a different take on that kind of, you know, collaborative track. What I also want to touch on with Next Level is the visuals. The album cover itself is it's simple, but really, really, you know, hits a big impact. I really like, you know, it's a C64 tape deck. Correct me if I'm wrong, from my memory. Yes. I seem to remember
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you're right.
And yeah, just really strong imagery. Who came up with that?
That C64, he does like all of our artwork and all of our visual stuff. Minus videos. We have one of my other friends, Colleen, does our videos, and she's super smart. She's like the best video hacker in the world. She invented Google Hangouts on Air, if you ever used Hangouts. That she invented that. She used to work at Google. Now she works at Facebook and she's super smart. But so she does our videos, but yeah, C64 does all of the artwork for us. He did the website and everything. And I really like it too. Like, it's like you said, it's simple, but it's like, it's effective and it's powerful. Yeah. It just kind of really conveys like a very nice image. And I also remember with regard to the album art, we released the album a little bit ahead of schedule at Nerdapalooza in Orlando. So I was chilling in Orlando and everyone was like, oh, your new album's out. Like, let's have like a listening party. So everybody came up to like hotel room and just packed up everybody in there. We're just sitting there listening to the album. And I remember MC Frontalot saying that he was like really impressed with the typography. And he said that he used to do like design stuff and he was really impressed with like, he said it was a bold font choice and that it worked really well. And I was like, cool, that's awesome.
It wouldn't be my first thought, but that is flattering. It's nice when someone says, you know, those kinds of things. I don't think I could ever look at it in quite that depth, but I, you know, certainly can appreciate, you know, visually it's very strong. So we move on to your most recent album, 2012, All the Things. You took a year off in 2013, clearly.
Yeah, it took a couple of years, actually, because I think Next Level came out in 2009. And then I remember we were initially intending, I think, to do the release in 2011 or maybe even 2010 for the next album. And I would be at DEF CON, which is like big hacker conference in Vegas. And people would just come up and be like, hey, like, where's the new album? And I say like, oh, sorry, like next summer. And so, so many people were disappointed and I was worried like all of our fans were just going to leave us and forget about us and say like, oh, no new music. Like, never mind. Don't care.
Oh, no. Certainly, I think everyone turned out when that album dropped and downloaded it at the earliest opportunity. You had a bit of a Canadian element to that one. You had more or less Ghetto Socks and Timbuktu on that one as well. How do you know those guys?
Those guys are awesome. I've played a number of years with them at South by Southwest, which is a big music festival in Austin, Texas. And their stage show is incredible. Like, if you ever get to see them or like the Backburner Crew or like any of their guys play live, they're fantastic because they're all like in and out of each other's sets, and they've all got like everything nailed down. Just like Too Many Tees has really good chemistry on stage, so do the Backburner guys. And so it's awesome like watching them play their shows, because they're just so like so refined and so polished. But I really like their stuff a lot. I really like More or Less, like the way he layers his rhyme schemes, like very impressive to me. His cadences are really cool. And like Ghetto Sox, his album's great. And like Timbuktu is fantastic as well. Like both of those guys live just blow my mind. And like they both make great music in the studio. So that was another track that also kind of came together last minute. I kind of had the idea and emailed them shortly before the album had to be done and said, hey, I have this idea, like, what do you think? And they were all in. So we did it and we got everything done in time. Actually, and a really funny story about that song on Go Figure, if I can take another aside, is the beat that's on the album is not actually the original beat. So I had a different beat. I sent it out to everybody. We all wrote and recorded our parts. We sent them back to C64. And when he got all the vocals back, he decided, like, hey, I think I can make, like, a better beat for this song. So he did. And then when we did the release of the album, we had, like, a listening party online. So the guys from Hack 5, which is a really cool video podcast that they do, like, hacking stuff, they let me use their studio. And our friend Colleen, like, set up a live stream for us and everything. And so we did, like, a live listening party on the internet for the new album, for all the things when it came out. And when I played that song, that was when I played Go Figure, it was actually the first time that like More or Less and Ghetto Sox and Tim like actually heard the beat and like that song. Like they hadn't heard it before. They didn't know like what it was. So it was kind of amusing. And also jumping back to Lost Reality, same situation with Fantastic Four. There's like the Fantastic Four song and then there's the remix, and actually the Fantastic Four remix was the original beat that we all wrote and recorded to. And then when we sent the vocals back to C64, same thing happened. He said like, oh, I can make a better beat for this. And then that beat, the new beat, actually became the original song.
That's cool. I did catch a tiny bit of that live stream, but it wasn't really convenient hours for me to settle down and go through the whole lot. But that was really smart. Yeah, you know, it was a really, I mean, just up in the game.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it was awesome. A lot of things came together really well to like to work that out. And we totally played it dangerous. We did a firmware flash on the equipment like 5 minutes before live, and then like, it happened to work out and like everything streamed out okay. And it was good, but it was really, really fun. Like, a bunch of people came by to hang out and, we had a really good, viewing audience online, and, album sales were great. We actually bumped up to like number one on Bandcamp for like the week of the release. So that was pretty awesome.
Not every geek with a Commodore 64 can hack into NASA.
Quick, our disaster recovery requires even more discs. Put your bites up, prove it or you forfeit. Got my C64 and we blew it into orbit. M Bison with 8 straight perfects. Overvolt emotions make hate break circuits. In case you heard, it's a named fake service. Optimize our runtime to escape verdicts. Got an integer scope flow that they can't sign. Passing code, didn't sanitize command lines, landmine. So before they'll see me after, I'm advice dog, courage wolf plus velociraptor. Don't prove human, unless we really have to. My team builds schemes that destroy, recapture. Hate what they see, finish this chapter. By the way, we're not any geeks, we hack into NASA. Drink all the booze, hack all the things. Drink all the booze, hack all the things. Drink all the booze, hack all the things. Got this vodka and this Red Bull, they still give me wings. So we drink all the booze, hack all the things. Drink all the booze, hack all the things. Drink all the booze, hack all the things. 0 through 3, we're in every single ring. Just wait until my BlackBerry dies, cause I'll replace it with the Raspberry Pi. Don't compare to this track, it makes everything they said dull. Neutralize any threat, turn Red Skull to Devnull. They killed virus writers that we mentioned, but instead they ascended to the VX heavens, then reincarnate as live wires. Still inside we hide ciphers and sign device drivers. Which school will we hit next? They didn't learn the format, so we've got a print app. Next step is a chin check. Freestyles that I spit best, they didn't decrypt yet. I crush internet
possible, yeah.
Drink all the booze, hack all the things. Drink all the booze, hack all the things. Drink all the booze, hack all the things. Got this vodka and this Red Bull, they still give me wings. So we drink all the booze, hack all the things. Drink all the booze, hack all the things. Drink all the booze, hack all the things. 0 through 3, we're in every single ring.
I mean, these servers have more firewalls than the devil's bedroom.
Hack all the things. Drink all the booze, pack all the things. Pack all the things. Pack all the things. Things. 0 through 3, we're in every single ring. Pack all the things.
Yeah, well, good luck, man.
All the Things was 2012. We're in 2014 now. Can we expect something new this year?
That's the plan. That's what we're hoping for. To be completely honest, I'm the one that's behind schedule. I've got a myriad of beats from C64, and I've got them like I always do like a particular layout on the file system of like yes, no, maybe, and Q, which are like Q is what I got to check. So I've got them all like separated, and I just need to. I've got notes for like different song ideas and stuff like that, and I've got some stuff written, but I've definitely got to step on the accelerator to if we're gonna deliver for the summer.
Well, I look forward to that. You know, if it comes out this year, or if you, you know, as and when it comes out this year, I'm sure there's a lot of people also looking forward to that. I did get a question for you on Twitter, which I think you were tagged into as well. It's from ALX at ALX Rogan, Alex Rogan, I expect. Is there someone you know or you?
Yes, yeah, Alex Rogan is a DEF CON goon. So like he works like the security staff at DEF CON. Super nice guy. Lives in Texas. He actually he and his wife came to Austin for South by Southwest last year for our show, and they're just like really friendly people. I'm actually giving a keynote talk at a security conference in Houston. I think in March, so next month, and so I'll get to hang out with them again when I go down there. I'm really excited to see them. They're really nice.
Cool. Well, his question is, how does he, I presume he means you, Entaiti, how does Entaiti see the arc of his music changing over the last 7 years? And he's put niche to mainstream ?
I don't know. I guess if you look at like if you look at all the things and you look at Next Level, I think there's less specific focus on nerdy content, and I think they're like it's just more general hip hop, but with like a back set of like technical and nerdy concepts. You know, like if you look at the first album 01, we've got very specific songs. Hostage Down is all about just Counter-Strike. You know, Rule Them All is all about just Lord of the Rings. Those are, you know, very specific and niche items. But if you look at songs like Running on All the Things, it's a song about, like, growing up listening to underground hip-hop, which, you know, could be anybody's life experience, not just, like, a subset of people that only like, you know, Lord of the Rings or Counter-Strike or whatever.
Yeah.
So I guess the arc is trending towards more generic hip hop, but definitely, you know, definitely not losing our nerdy heritage and roots.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of artists are perhaps moving not away from the nerdy content, but not trying so hard to be nerdy. I think, yeah, there's a maturity. Just, I think, a natural evolution. People moving perhaps away from you know, desperately trying to be nerdy and using, you know, nerdy reference to just being who they are, and they happen to like nerdy things. And yeah, I don't think that's a bad thing. I mentioned this in the last show. I worry that, you know, the term nerdcore in itself is actually not that beneficial to the subgenre of hip hop. I think it's difficult to get people to listen to a genre that's called nerdcore. It puts so many people off at the first step. But actually, I think it, you know, with this evolution and, you know, maybe trying to get people, if you do get them to listen to it and it's not so obviously nerdy, I think it maybe makes it a little bit more accessible to a wider audience. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I guess I can see it from both directions. You know, obviously, if you just you might have people turn away, like you said, if you just came up to somebody randomly and said, hey, listen to this, it's nerdcore hip hop. You know, they might, just the name itself might be off-putting. Mm. But at the same time, it can be helpful if you're like, wow, like I listen to this guy, Whitey Cracker, and like I really like his music. Like, how do I find people that are similar to Whitey Cracker? And you say like, okay, well, like the tags on this are hip hop and nerdcore. So let me click like the nerdcore tag, and then, you know, using that, you can find other people that make the same type of music that you would like. So I think it can be helpful. And at the same time, it's also like metadata that the listener controls, right? So like our content is the same. If you listen to one of our songs and you give it to like 50 different people, you might get like 5 or 6 different tags out of that. And so the content's the same across everybody, right? Everybody got the same collection of bits for their MP3. Mm. But like one person might have written it's hip hop. Another person might write that it's underground hip hop. Another person might write that it's nerdcore, you know, that somebody else might tag it indie hip hop. So I think it's totally fine. And I've never really been concerned with like the label or anything like that, because it's just metadata. Like it doesn't change like the content that we're still making the music that we want to make.
Mm. Yeah, that's a very good way of looking at it, a very measured way of looking at it. Okay, so we've gone through, you know, the albums, and hopefully we can see or hear some more music from you this year. Let's talk a bit about this hacking thing then.
Okay.
Because I guess the many people's preconception of hackers is that you're stealing people's credit card details and buying things that you shouldn't. How accurate is that?
That is definitely something that happens and is done by people. You know, Target's like a big company and big retailer, and they just had a breach where they had tons of credit card data walk out the door. So, I mean, it definitely happens. But at the same time, like there's people on the other side that are really good that are tracking, you know, other people down, tracking offensive hackers down, I guess, if you'll say it that way. Mm. But or tracking criminals down or whatever. So I think it's fine. Like it's whatever. People are going to do what they want to do. And some people are bad and some people are good. So and some people are in between. So it's fine.
Where do you fall in that?
I'm somewhere on the spectrum. I don't know.
Or choose not to say, right?
Yes, I will plead. I will use the U.S. Constitution on this one. And
well, I'm in Britain. That doesn't really work, but that's fine.
Right. Well, which is really funny, right? So like, if you think about that, like if you you're residing in one country and you're using a computer in another country, like which laws are actually applicable? Mm-hmm. So in the U.S. we have the DMCA. Which is the Digital Millennium Copyrights Act, which is meant to protect content creators and copyright holders from infringement and having their stuff pirated or completely copied and ripped off. So that's fine. That's the U.S. law. So what happens if I connect to a computer in Luxembourg and then I download a movie via BitTorrent to Luxembourg? Like, I didn't really do it in the U.S. I did it while I was in the U.S., but the movie got downloaded to Luxembourg, so it's not under the DMCA. So like, it's, you know, how do you adjust laws and policy to handle like the growth of the internet and the expansion of people being interconnected all over the world?
It's a complex situation.
Yeah, exactly. So and that's what's fun about it. Like, that's what's interesting about one of the parts, right? So maybe some places have like less stringent laws or even no laws in some cases with regarding access to information and devices.
So most people sit at their computer and they perform fairly, you know, uncomplex tasks. They're word processing and sending emails, browsing the internet. What is it that makes you want to go behind the scenes and change what's going on there, manipulate things? What is it that, you know, compels you to do that?
I guess, I mean, at a narrow level, like, it's just curiosity, I think. Like, when I was a kid, I'd watch movies, and there would be, like, some stunt in a movie or something that, like, definitely never happens in real life. And I'd always think, like, how did they do that? Like, how did they make that? And I would try to reconstruct, like, the whole setup in my head as to, like, okay, cool, like, they've got somebody over here doing this, and they, you know, move this camera here and change the, you know, stop, they, like, stop filming, and then they move stuff around, and they start filming from the same position, and, like, or, like, whatever. I'd always try to figure that kind of stuff out. I think it's the same curiosity, right? You take things apart and see what's inside, how they work, and see what happens if you change this or reassemble it this way or whatever. So I think it's the same thing. At a more broader level, it's pretty neat seeing what's happened, like, the interest in changing things and manipulating things. It's interesting seeing what's happened with the world over the past couple decades and people, more and more people coming online. And so I think, like, when you have access to information, you're much better suited at solving problems. Like, a very small example is, like, I had a heater in my house and the pilot light went out. I'd never lit a pilot light before. So without access to information, I have to call somebody that knows how to do that, or, you know, get in touch with somebody that knows how to relight the pilot light. Mm. But with access to information, I just pull up a YouTube video, watch how to relight the pilot light, light the pilot light, no problem, cost me nothing, and was done in 30 seconds. And so, like, that scales, right? You know, like, if you're like, oh, like, how do I get clean water? Or, like, how do I get access to medical care? Or do I need medical care in this situation? And you have access to information to figure that out. You can save lives. You can change people's lives. You can solve problems at all different levels, local, regional, and national, and global. And so I think it's really awesome to be able to, like, contribute to that. Like, if you can help build systems and build networks that allow people to get access to information, you can make people better off, or allow people to make themselves better off.
And what would you say is hacking a career for you? Is it something you do to make a living? Is it part of your, you know, way of making a living?
Yep, that's my day job.
That's your day job. That's amazing. So what would be your either a personal or a work achievement, what would be your greatest achievement in the world of hacking?
I don't know, just have a fulfilling career where I enjoy the work that I do at any point in time and help make the internet safer for people that are trying to get access to information.
Cool. And hypothetical, completely unrealistic hypothetical question time. If you had to give up either hacking or music, which one would it be?
I'd give up music. A lot of people ask me, like, when are you going to... Yeah, I'd give up music.
I wasn't expecting that to be such an easy answer, I'll be honest.
I was hacking before I was rapping, and a lot of people ask me, like, you know, when are you going to quit your day job and just do music? Because, you know, like, we tour and we have album sales and we have awesome fans. And so, like, it's, you know, definitely, like, a plausible option. But I love computer stuff so much that I don't think I could ever give it up.
Cool. Okay, best gig you've ever played?
Oh, man, that's a tough question. I will say, I think my favorite party that I've ever played was at B-Sides in Las Vegas. And so it was actually... It was C64's first trip to the U.S., or not to the U.S., but to Vegas, to DEF CON, to play shows together. And he brought his, at the time, girlfriend, which then they got engaged on that trip and then later got married. But in Vegas, we play, like, 12 or 15 shows in the course of, like, 4 days. So it's just kind of this, like, sprint, but it's like a marathon distance. And so there's not much time for sleep. Like, during the day, you're, like, selling albums until it's time to go play shows and party, and then you do that until it's time to sell albums again. And so I think it was, like, our third show of the night. We'd played at Microsoft's party, and then we'd played at the EFF, which is a great foundation, EFF.org, and then we were playing at this offset conference called B-Sides, which is just like a free conference that rides alongside bigger conferences. And so they had rented out this whole hotel to have the conference and the party there. And so we just roll into the party. It's got to be, like, I don't know, midnight or 1 a.m. or something like that. And they've got all the sound system set up poolside. And there's all these cabanas and just everybody, like, everybody everywhere. So we walk in, they get us all set up. And we'd had sets for the previous two shows. But I told C64, I said, hey, like, you just play, this is like a party, you just play whatever beats you want to play. And I was there with Dale Chase, and I was like, we'll just fill in the raps. So we just started playing raps and playing rap shows, and it's awesome. Like, C64 was just DJing and playing whatever he wanted to play, and we were just filling in raps. We were freestyling a lot. We were, like, doing songs and verses from different songs, like, all over the place, and everybody was just having a blast. And then that's it, where we actually came up with Drink All the Booze, Hack All the Things. my friend Virus from the hacking group DC949 had previously come up to me and said, like, hey, like, drink all the booze, hack all the things. Like, that's how we're doing it this year. So I was like, all right, cool. And so we just made that, like, into a hook, and, like, we just did, like, freestyles, and it was great. Like, everybody went nuts and had just really had a good time. And so that party will, like, always stick out to me, like, for the rest of my life.
Whether nerdcore or outside of the genre, which artist would you like to collab with the most that you haven't already?
I'd really like to get a verse from, or, like, do a song with Pharoah Monch. He's, like, one of my favorite rappers. I really like his style a lot. And he generally has, like, really good songs. I also like Jay-Z a lot. He's, like, probably my favorite rapper.
Should be easy to arrange.
Right, I'll just call him up. Come on over. But on top of that, like, Jay-Z has done, like, a lot of interesting work, like, outside of just rap music. You know, like, he's got a lot of different ventures that are pretty interesting to me, but he's also got an initiative with the UN, the United Nations, to reduce the number of people that don't have ready access to clean water by, like, a significant portion. And so I think he's, like, I think it's maybe, like, 1 billion currently, and he's trying to get that down to, like, 1 million. And so, like, it's a really interesting, I don't know, like, approach for a rapper. You know, like, you generally think of rappers as just, like, usually caring about, like, the jewelry that they have and the car that they're driving and whatever. Yeah. But it's pretty neat for him to take, like, a global vantage point to say, like, hey, like, here's this fundamental problem. Like, let's try to solve it. So I like Jay-Z a lot, and I like a lot of other things outside of hip hop. So, like, drum and bass wise, I really like Netsky a lot. Like, I like liquid drum and bass. So Netsky would be somebody that I'd love to collaborate with. I like trap music a lot. So I really like Flostradamus, and I love Diplo. So, like, I'd love to do something with Diplo. Like, Diplo works with everybody. Why not dual core? I don't know.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, there's, like, a bunch of different stuff, you know, out there. And I think there are, like, a lot of people that would be fun to collaborate with for different reasons. So, yeah, it'd be great. But at the same time, I'm super happy, like, making the hip hop that we make. I really enjoy it. It's the type of music that I want to make, and I really love listening to it.
And what shows have you got coming up?
I've got a couple here in San Francisco. I'm playing one with Dale Chase and my DJ Fuzzy Knop for it's like a cancer fundraiser for lymphoma. And then we've got another one here in San Francisco for RSA, which is a big security conference. Cyber United, it's like there's a bunch of different parties that happen around RSA. And so one party is called it's by an organization called Cyber United. So I'm super excited to play that one as well. So those are the next two on the list.
And will people get a chance to see you perform with C64 this year?
I hope so. It'd be great if he could make it out to Vegas. I think last year he got married, so I actually flew over to the UK for their wedding. And so between, like, the preparation time for the wedding, the honeymoon, and then the UK tour, I think he just didn't have any time to take off to come to Vegas last year. So hopefully the travel requirements will be less stringent this year and he'll be able to make it out.
Awesome. And where can people find Dual Core online?
Everywhere. We're Dual Core Music on everything. So dualcoremusic.com, at Dual Core Music on Twitter, YouTube/Dual Core Music, Facebook/Dual Core Music, dualcoremusic.bandcamp.com. We're on iTunes, Amazon, Spotify. Like, you can find us on with BitTorrent, like, whatever. It's totally accessible.
Oh, that throws up a question. Your songs or your albums get torrented. Are you happy, or does it bother you?
No, it doesn't bother me at all. I mean, that's, like, a fundamental aspect of computers, right? Like, I didn't
imagine it would bother you, but I thought I'd ask the question.
No, I mean, that's, like, you know, replicating data is just, like, a natural function. So it's totally fine that people torrent it. And I mean, like, I think it works out in a number of ways for us. It's, you know, it's great promotion because people can easily check out music if they, you know, want to buy it or not. It, like, almost every show that I play, somebody comes up to me and just gives me cash and says, "Hey, I torrented your albums. I really like them. So I'd like to give you some money," which is great. I mean, like, there's no at that point, right? If I sell a CD, it costs like $2 for the CD. So we make, you know, less profit than somebody just giving me cash straight up.
Ideal world. Brilliant. Anything you'd like to promote finally?
No, not that I can think of. I mean, like Dale Chase has an album that he put out that we're on last year. Adam Warrock's got a new album that he put out last year that's really good that we're also on. I think Tribe One has some stuff coming out. I really like Tribe One a lot. He just finished up a tour with Adam Warrock and Schaefer, and so I played the San Francisco show with them, and it was fantastic. And those guys are all amazing, so definitely check their music out. And if you have limited funds and it comes down to somebody else or us, spend the money on the other person's stuff and then torrent our stuff. And then if later you can send it to us, that's fine.
Very good. Sir, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Int 80 of Dual Core. People check out the music. Int 80, thank you very much for joining me. It's been an honor.
It's been awesome to be on The Unheard Nerd. I really appreciate it.
Trials in this life, whether calm or disaster, sadness in the laughter, beginning through the after. Turn the page and we start another chapter.
Farewell.
She said as the car drove away, taillights vanish in the glow of the day. Coping with the change all alone in their estate. Sent their daughter off to college, now they're so old and gray. Don't know what to do with this time they've been given. Started a foundation, technology for children. They want to change the world, make it better, make it different. Super slick, a fugitive who knew the tricks, removing every clue they skip. Moving quick, hoping they don't shoot him with a lie. Tranquilize if they get him to maneuver in. Started with his knowledge and approved to make it lucrative. Prison's not a future for an innocent computer whiz. Bounced on the ground, finally made it out the sewer then.
Farewell.
Farewell, if you ever ask why, farewell. Tell if you never say die, farewell. Please let me see you put your fist up. Always farewell when determined not to give up. Farewell, now I gotta make him proud. Farewell. And undetected presence on the internet they leverage. So much potential, they change it to kinetic. Connected, relentless, no interest in a penance. They're just bent on a method for the vengeance. Prevalent with messages, know how to make an entrance. Identities unknown, citations need a reference. Bet you'll get it with this very next sentence. Not forgiven, not forgotten, but they're certainly expected.
Farewell.
Fact and mathematics, and it's all a game of averages. Coding overflowing, still invoking what the passion is. Get a hacker kid, matching with an activist. Padded with an additive, an automatic catalyst. Fact that it exists is actually to satisfy. Scale across the planet, understanding what the fraction is. Instantly mobilized and suited up for battle quick.
Farewell.
Farewell, if you ever ask why, farewell. Tell if you never say die, farewell. Please let me see you put your fist up. Always farewell when determined not to give up. Farewell, now I gotta make them proud. Farewell, out when I'm waving to the crowd. Farewell, let me hear you say it now. Controls coming loose, cause and effect. Know when to choose, pause, let it set. Show me the proof, call for the best. Moment of truth, go again. Controls coming loose, cause and effect. Know when to choose, pause, let it set. Show me the proof, call for the best. Moment of truth, and it's all that you get. Trials in this life, whether calm or disaster. Sadness in the laughter, beginning through the after. Turn the page and we finish out the chapter.
Farewell.
He's the leader of these vagrants. No debate, bringing faith. Federal agents mad cause of flagrant. They hacked all the taps and were placed in the basement. Delivering a way to save the internet they're faced with. An atmospheric network they're launching with a spaceship. Funded with the money that they stole from the foundation.
Farewell.
Not what he meant from the steady trend of envious. Foundations bankrupt, a couple died penniless. Darkest of surprise, the startle in their eyes. The project that they started was the heart of their demise. Now they lay in a coffin made of rotted wood. So altruistic, they meant to do a lot of good. The world did change, but not how they thought it would.
Dot com.